Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Show, plenty to get to today. Sean's here, adorned in not just the ESPN 975 hat, but also a Longhorn shirt. The horns in the Sweet 16. There has become a debate about who's the Cinderella and who isn't. Mark Few laid out why they're not, so we'll get into that. They took care of Gonzaga, and we narrowly avoided Eric's dream, an in-show fight. In regards to our teams, Miami lost to Purdue. It would have been Miami, Texas in the Sweet 16, one of the more improbable ones coming into the tournament. It does not happen. Purdue got a game from Miami, but they won. So Sean's Horns versus Matt Painter's, because Sean's the coach of the Horns in this case, Matt Painter's Boilermakers in the Sweet 16. We also, of course, have the Cougs, who have now made the Sweet 16 seven in a row, I think. But most appearances in the Sweet 16 since 2020, the Cougs have. They've been a really good program for a while. I was trying to do a comparison, think of a comparison for them compared to maybe in a different sport. I don't want to drop this on them because it's almost pejorative to say. But at this point, are they like the Buffalo Bills of the 2000s? Or 2020s, excuse me. Six Sweet 16 since 2020. Always in the mix. Made a Final Four. A couple Final Fours. Made a national title game. The Bills haven't reached that level yet. But they've made a Final Four or two playing against the Chiefs. I think they're the Bills. Now, Kelvin Sampson is the Josh Allen, the one consistent part of that. But they've been so close, so consistent, and I won't say they caught a break because that diminishes what Iowa did, but no number one seed in the region, the only number one seed not to advance to the Sweet 16 in the Florida Gators. Now, if the path wasn't laid out for them before, now it's pretty clear. You will be guaranteed, as long as you keep winning, at least to wear your white jerseys into the Final Four, and that's nice. And they got Iowa's in the region, Nebraska's in the region, and they got Illinois, who is a tough giant squad, which is kind of where the elites are going. If you've watched college basketball, they've moved away from five out offense, quote unquote modern offense, and stop leaning into skill so much and just being big, strong, and being able to dominate the boards. They've pointed to that as why, sure, people are talking about NIL, but they've pointed to how these elite teams are constructed as a reason why you're not seeing the giant upsets anymore, because they're just bigger, stronger, and faster than even these potential Cinderellas. So if you have an off night shooting as an elite squad, in the past, you could lose a game to a team that's not better, but's having a night shooting. If you're going to dominate inside and beat them up on the boards and get them in the foul trouble, it kind of eliminates the, hey, this system, the five guys who played together forever, even that's not the case on the lower levels anymore. But that combination of things leading to a big-name team getting upset, we almost saw it with Siena and Duke. But at some point, Duke's talent and size and strength took over, and they were able to win that game. It is the way the best teams in basketball have avoided dropping games to these mid-majors. And if that's the way to go about it, that's the way to go about it. And the Cougs have kind of played that way for a while. I mean, their bigs aren't the biggest. They're mostly in that 6'8 to 6'9 range. That's kind of what they've been throughout. But play great defense, beat them up on the boards, get offensive rebounds, get them in foul trouble, get to the line. It's a formula that has kind of taken over college basketball when it comes to the best teams, and the Cougs are among them. You know what? They did a good job over the weekend. Of course, started on Thursday and then Saturday. What they did was make it stress-free for their fans, because as you see better teams, it may get more stressful. But for the first weekend, the Cougs had a double-digit lead by the under four timeout both games, wound up winning by 31. There was no stress, really, after about 4 minutes ago. And the Idaho game, there was never really going to be any stress. But you might have thought the Aggies and the way they play, the pressing, their pace might cause a problem. That problem was solved about 4 minutes ago. The Cougs went on a big run, wound up being up by 18 going into the half, and then closed it out by winning by 31. So that's the way to go about it. If you're going to get to the Sweet 16 and know you've got bigger things ahead of you, let's not make it stressful for the fans. They've dealt with this for, well, all decade, really, being in big games. Let's make the first couple games easy going, because they got a lot to – they've got four more games to get to the mountaintop, and I imagine it won't be as easy going forward.
Yeah, it'd be hard for it to
– to be any
– to be that easy. The lowest the Houston Cougars win probability got in the last two games was at 71% against A&M when A&M was up like 8-6.
Yeah. They were expected to win dominantly, and they did. So credit to them. It has been what you would want to get going in this tournament. And it's you think about it, you win these two games and you still got so much ahead of you to reach. You got two more weekends if you want to achieve your goal, and that is to win a national title. And at least right now, they're well on their way. As I mentioned, only number one seed not to advance was Florida. Duke bounced back after the Siena game and won that game easily. So you've got mostly chalk. You've got the upset of Iowa winning, but for the most part, if you start to look across the bracket, the teams who people thought could win a national title other than Florida still remain. What are we, like one game away from Connecticut versus St. John's in what would be a rematch of the Big East conference title game, which St. John's won? So you might have – we already had the sicko matchup of Mick Cronin versus Dan Hurley. So we may have Patino versus Hurley coming up here if they both can win their games. Patino's team getting a buzzer beater over Kansas, which bad defense by Kansas. I don't know what they're thinking. A guy's not even looking at the ball as they're heading out to guard above the three-point line. Darren Peterson getting killed for that. Darren Peterson, I don't know if it changed later in the game, but at one point it was him and then one other guy made 1-3 for like the first 72 minutes of Kansas's tournament. He was 17-17 at the time from three over the course of two games, and one other guy made one. And yes, supreme talent, but you would hope Kansas would have more to offer. They couldn't hold off St. John's. St. John's, the guy who made the game-winning layup, didn't make a field goal all game, I believe. And in the huddle, he was asking for the ball. And Rick Pitino was like, what? Now he called for him, and it was a tough layup despite me talking about how Kansas played that poorly defensively, but he made a tough layup to win it. That is a buzzer beater. Vanderbilt nearly had one. I'm trying to think of the buzzer beaters that would have happened so far in this tournament. I we got Iowa. It wasn't really a buzzer beater, but it was close enough.
Was it there? No. I guess it was just St. John's as like a true
one.
Zero seconds left.
Yeah, triple zeros on the clock.
That's not forgetting one. Was the Kentucky Santa Clara first round game
to tie the game? Yes.
Yeah.
That was a buzzer beater to tie. Yeah, that did happen. So we haven't had that much drama. Not that many upsets. We'll see if the round of 16 going forward lead to these dramatic finishes. We mentioned the Iowa-Florida game quite a bit. You know, Todd Golden's one of those guys. He's the Florida head coach when he's not yelling at opponents or opponents' coaches. He's one of those guys who has an unorthodox view of late game situations. And he said he was going to do this. He was going to foul up two. Even while in the bonus, his philosophy is fouling one of the role players for a team to send them to the line, put the pressure on them to make two. And even if they make two, you get an opportunity possibly to win the game, or at worst, it goes to overtime. Now he's not accounting for a potential offensive rebound that you get punished for, but his thought is, I'm just going to foul one of the guys who's rarely in those situations. Let's try him and put him in the position of making two as opposed to allowing maybe their best player a chance to knock down a three to win it or knock down a two to tie it. The philosophy going into the final seconds against Florida or against Iowa was that, but they didn't execute and they got beat full court and it wound up with a wide open three. That's why they were so aggressive in their approach. People were asking, how could you be trailing behind the guy who catches the ball in the inbounds? How did you leave a guy open to take that shot? It's because the players were instructed to foul. They just couldn't get to the guy to foul him, and it led to the open three. So a philosophy that is unorthodox backfired on the defending national champions. And only Connecticut since, I believe, 2007, as I saw, I believe only Connecticut, it can't be that long ago. I'll find
2017?
It. Maybe 2017. Only Connecticut is a defending champion who made it past the first weekend since 2017.
Yeah, and they won the whole thing.
And they won the whole thing in dominant fashion. No, I'm looking at it right now. Chris Felica, the Bear. Only one defending champ since 2007 has advanced past the Sweet 16. And it was that Connecticut team who won it all. So it's hard to string together. Forget about six. You do the six, crazy. Getting to eight straight wins in the tournament, something we haven't seen besides Connecticut since 2007.
Which is crazy.
Very hard to do.
Because the first six are hard.
Yeah.
But like the next two, the next
season.
Year.
Yeah, you think if you have a really good team.
Yeah, you get a 16 and then an 8.
Yeah. Instead, you got a 9 this year for Florida and they couldn't get it done. So it's very difficult to repeat. That will be in the Dan Hurley conversations when we talk about potential Hall of Famer. He's already got that. You win two national titles. You're kind of going to go in the Hall of Fame. College Basketball Hall of Fame. That is one of those feats that is hard to duplicate. Even getting to a Sweet 16, which, while the Cougars have never won the title, that just puts what Kelvin Sampson has done into more perspective. Even the best teams in the country, it is very difficult duplicate that success.
They're lucky they lost to Florida last year, else they would have been.
Well, there it is.
They would have lost to Texas A&M yesterday.
Finding the positive.
There you go.
Yeah, I imagine losing to Florida last year really.
Now, in hindsight.
Yeah, when I look at Texas A&M getting drilled by 31, there would have been a 32-point swing in the other direction if Emmanuel Sharpe had gotten that shot off and won the game.
Yes, yeah. Obviously, that's the only way I have to read that data.
The evidence suggests if they had
20 years of data,
they had not blown that late lead,
they would be 31 points worse.
We'd be talking about the Cougs losing to Bucky McMillan and the Aggies and Bucky Ball moving on, and the Cougs having a disappointing finish to their year. If only
the multiverse.
Yeah, if we just go by what the stats say. So that was the weekend in college basketball. Other than that, there wasn't much. As far as if I think about college basketball and what were the big moments, I mean, Bill Self contemplating his retirement. So we'll be on the lookout for that. He has said he needs to feel good to want to continue there. So Kansas, who's had a longstanding coach who has a couple of national titles, may have to be looking for a new coach. if health becomes a real issue for Bill Self. Jerry McNamara hired by Syracuse. We talked about that last week, that they would go to hire their former player. The former Siena coach is now the Syracuse coach.
I'm a little surprised that I was like, oh, that actually, I thought we were all just kind of like joking about like, hey, Jerry McNamara is up 10 at halftime with Duke. He's going to get the Syracuse job. I didn't know that, like, by Monday morning, he would just have the Syracuse, like, that's all they needed was like, yeah, 2003 and then this.
He could have been blown. He could have been down 20 at the half. I think he's getting that Syracuse job. I think this was in the works for a while. They may have just kept it quiet to be respectful to Siena and Jerry McNamara. But this was done and dusted before the tournament even began.
Yeah.
I would think. I don't think.
If I was a Syracuse fan. Let me not speak for Syracuse fan. If I was a Syracuse fan.
You know a Syracuse fan. You did a show at a Syracuse fan.
Yes. I would want a slightly more expansive search than Jim Boeheim. Jim Boeheim's chosen assistant. A guy who played for Jim Boeheim 20 years ago. I would just like, hey, can we see what High Points coach is up to?
Yeah, I'm a fan of doing due diligence.
Like, can we?
I love to say the process matters quite a bit, but in these type of things, you kind of just expect it. Hey, we'd love to keep it in-house. I'm sure the Boeheim stuff kind of grew stale at the very end, but let's go back to when it was great.
Yeah.
2003.
Wasn't that sick?
Yeah. I mean,
if this doesn't work out, we're hiring Hakeem Warrick.
What's Carmelo up to? He seems like he knows.
Oh, yeah. Carmelo isn't. I mean, his kid has to be on Syracuse next year, right?
He was on Syracuse this year. Oh, okay. You think he comes back?
I was going to say, I've heard of him for so long that I assume he has to be in college.
Yeah, he was on the Syracuse team this past season. We'll go to break with that. Daniel says the Bills comparison doesn't quite work. At least made the final game. The Connor McDavid-led Oilers might be more apt. Well, I get what you're saying, but Connor McDavid was or is considered one of the best players in hockey. The Cougs have never had that type of player. Now, they have Leon Draisaitl, too, who's a great player. I don't think it's applicable because, sure, the Oilers have been to a couple straight Stanley Cup finals, lost to the Panthers. But it hasn't been this long running. And also, they've made two Stanley Cup finals. The Cougs have made the one title game, which means you don't want to make it the Bills. I feel like it's more an apt comp because it's gone over the decade, which is kind of in line with what the Bills have done as well. And not that this is a real discussion about this. It's your comparison could be fine. My comparison could be fine. It just strikes me as because the Bills have never won a title. Edmonton has. And the Cougs have never won a title either. Going back to the 80s when they were Phi Slam Pajama, we had the dark ages, and now we're back at the forefront of college basketball. The program itself, I think, is more Bills coded than Edmonton coded. You just look over the history of getting close and never getting it done, and now being at the top of the of both your sports and still waiting for that elusive title. That's my comp. It could be Edmonton could be fine too, but I refuse to compare Kellen Sampson, Connor McDavid. No chance. Not that loser. Can't win a gold medal.
Can't do anything.
Yeah, oh, you won Nations League, whatever. Or four nations, whatever.
The second best hockey player of all time. Because he is the best at being the second best.
Yes.
Locked down number two better than him.
There was a player, I can't remember his name, before we go to break. He played Corey Perry has played in so many Stanley Cup finals and doesn't win them, except for the one he won early in his career. But there's one player, I think he was with the Penguins when they lost to the Red Wings. And then he left the Penguins to join the Red Wings and lost to the Penguins in the finals. I think he flipped teams.
Did like a reverse Kevin Durant?
Yeah. He flipped teams after losing and then lost to his former team. Who lost to the team that just won?
We're gonna get that in the portal era at some point.
Will a quarterback happen with a quarterback or even just a college basketball player? Yeah, who just leaves and then he winds up facing his former team and loses to them.
Yeah,
it could happen. Either way, let's hope I was gonna go Braves, but they have to go win the title before I can call them the Braves, the Cougs, the '90s Braves.
Yeah, I was like the hard part is a lot of these they win one. Eventually.
Yeah.
I don't want to jinx anything, but if you just keep making the Sweet 16 every year, like eventually you're
going to break through.
Especially as like a one or two every year.
Yeah, it was Marian Hossa.
Oh, okay.
He played for the Penguins, lost to the Wings, joined the Wings, and lost to the Penguins.
Snake. That's what that snake deserves.
I'm sure there's some Pittsburgh fan thinking the same thing. Some Yinzer thinking the same thing. All right, we'll go to break with that. When we get back, we'll talk about the other team in town. They had an interesting weekend. Couple wins. I knew they would beat the Hawks. The Hawks are due for a loss. And the Rockets ended their 11-game winning streak and then found a way to beat the Heat on Saturday, thanks to a tip-in by Amon Thompson. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Most of us aren't experts on a lot of things, but one thing I know I'm not an expert in is plumbing. I don't know that I've met a non-plumber who's an expert in that. It's one of those things that you always want someone else to take care of it, because if you try, you're going to screw it up. Don't screw up something. Don't turn something small into something big. Don't allow something big to fester and to change kind of the value of your own home. So we expect when we turn on that tap, turn the tap on for the water to come out clean, not dirty, something we can use to cook, something we can use to drink, something we can use to clean. Aqueduct Plumbing Company will make sure that happens every time you turn on the tap. So whether it's a big job or a small job, you just want clean water. And the people to get that done for you is AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. And go to AqueductPlumbingCompany.com, to find out all the things they provide. So if you like, maybe you got an older home and you need a repipe, they'll take care of that for you. Maybe you just need a fixture taken a look at. They'll do that for you too. They also do something like if you are a griller and you don't want to deal with having to always go get propane, they'll run that gas line to your grill. So that's something else that's off your plate. They do a lot of things. Just check out their services menu at aqueductplumbingcompany.com and find what fits you, because they do it all. They're kind of your one-stop shop for plumbing. And they do more than that, as I laid out. If you want to call them, it's 281-488-6238. It's 281-488-6238. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Rockets had a good weekend as far as the win-loss record. They won both games, beat the Hawks. Easy win for them there. Kevin Durant came out afterwards and said, oh, look at the vibes now, huh? Look, interesting, huh? How are the vibes? Look, I know you're chronically online, just like a lot of us are, so you see everything. But let's not pretend you weren't making that face to the crowd when Albert came to talk to you. No one made that up. That's not something that we conjured up in our own heads. Alperen Şengün, your teammates talking to you about something people were speculating about that was. Whatever it was, he was talking to you about something basketball related on the floor. You looked to the sidelines and were like, what's wrong with this guy? There's something wrong with him. That's on you. You can't put that on us. You made the face. You showed up your guy. On you. Okay. The next game.
Didn't do that against the Hawks, though.
It's true. It was
checkmate.
It's true. He's right. It didn't happen in a game where you had full control. Congratulations. You're up
20 the entire time.
Yeah, but in a game that was not going your way, or at least was very competitive, your teammate wanted to talk to you about something. Whether he was dead on or not, you didn't keep that to yourself. You looked to the crowd and was like, man, what's wrong with him? That's on you. That ain't on us.
You Jim from the office.
Yeah. How do you put that on us? If we're going to question how the team is, or the vibes of the team, if you're adding to that. Now, in their last game, it got ugly late in the third quarter. The Heat put on a run. They're up double digits early in the fourth quarter, and then the Rockets couldn't miss a three. It helps in a game where the other team's running zone. You look confused. You can't get stops where every three you put up there goes in for the most part. Jabari Smith got them started. They were at the time. I think they might have been up 10. They might have been down 10. He hits back-to-back threes to change the game. They are only down 4. Heat called a timeout. That didn't stop the Rockets from making threes, but because of the Rockets and it's the fourth quarter, even when things are going great, they can turn pretty quickly where it feels like all you got to do is make your free throws. You're going to win this game. But if you don't get the ball in and you turn the ball and then you turn the ball over, that removes the, hey, just make your free throws from part of the formula. And because everything can be captured, the worst slash funniest moment of the game was very late. Bam Adebayo had made a couple of free throws to bring the Heat within one. And then the Rockets are rushing to inbound the basketball. I'm not sure why they're not calling a timeout and advancing it. That's a question for Ime Udoka. But I think it was Jabari Smith trying to get the ball in. Tari wanted to be the one to inbound it. Maybe that's kind of their rule of thumb. Tari's the inbounder when he's on the floor, and that's in a situation like that. He doesn't get a chance. The ball gets inbounded but slapped away, so the Rockets maintain possession. You watch Tari react like, come on, give me the ball. So he inbounds it, turns the ball over, winds up in a layup or goaltend by Jabari that is counted, layup, heater up by one, and then you had the moment at the end of the game where Kevin Durant takes an awkward shot because Bam Adebayo's on, one of the best defenders in basketball. But because these games, these late game situations, people forget their responsibilities. No one checks out or boxes out Amen Thompson. He lays it up in it or tips it up in it, and the Rockets avoid a collapse. A game where they fought all the way back and had a lead that we thought would, they would kind of manage their way to win the game, turns into one where you need a buzzer beater tip in to defeat the Heat. But you do get the win. Kevin Durant is now surpassing, or he now surpasses Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list. He was asked about that and possibly keeping that going. I believe Big Sarge asked him the question. Here is Kevin Durant on passing Jordan and what's next.
I know that, you know, top five sounds great, but I also know that you're a very competitive person. There's still four people above you. When you look at that, do you see yourself playing long enough to be able to maybe move up a little bit more, or is it just however the game goes?
I don't want to stop now, Sarge. It's not my goal to pass anybody. If it happens, it happens. I'm going to go out there and play my game and enjoy being an NBA player for as long as I can. And we'll see what happens.
Kevin Durant, after the win and after passing Michael Jordan. Big Sarge. With the shout out. Also, he does the Unguarded podcast with Fred VanVleet, who revealed, if we didn't already know, that he's not coming back. He didn't say it explicitly, but he's talking in terms of coming back next season and proving everyone who's questioning him that they were wrong on him. So he thinks he'll be back better than ever after sitting out the year with the knee injury. We'll see. But don't, if you had any expectation of Fred VanVleet coming back, he doesn't even have that, at least for this year. So we'll ride till the wheels fall off with some combination of Reed Shepherd, who played really well over the weekend, and Amen Thompson as your guards. You can throw Tari in there as well. But your guards right now, Okogie, Reed, Amen, your ball handlers, but mostly Reed and Amen going forward. Maybe Aaron Holiday will get some time too in situations. All right, let's get to Keith here. He's got an NFL question. What's up?
All right, bye. Hey, Dale, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Hey, a quick question. I think it's kind of bad timing, all this NFL flag football that went on this past weekend. I don't know what it was or, you know, whatever it was. But, you know, March Madness was obviously at the forefront for everybody. But the 5 minutes that I watched, or the clips that I watched, only two things really stood out. Tom Brady obviously still has it at age 48 to be better than, you know, a lot of quarterbacks in the league still. But the speed that 22, 21-year-old Aisho Speed had, covering, going stride for stride, step for step with Devontae Smith, and kind of being a ball hawk and being everywhere, like, Dude is a freak athlete, dude. No training. You know, he wanted to race Noah Lyles, but is there any opportunity at Aisho Speed? getting a chance at the NFL at some point? Because, like, dude is stride for stride with the best in the world. Did anyone else notice that?
I caught bits and pieces of the game. If you don't know who IShowSpeed is, he's a streamer. He is an elite athlete, as far as I can tell. I mean, he's never played consistently against elite athletes, but in the moments that you see him, you know, he can run fast.
Yeah, he can run fast, jump high,
yeah,
do backflips.
I don't know if you asked him to run routes on a consistent basis, if he could do that.
He's more of a corner,
yeah,
you know.
He's not very big either. He's only 5'8", so that would be a hindrance to playing cornerback in the NFL.
Is he American?
You think he can play on the flag football team? I don't know.
That's where I thought Keith was going.
Keith always goes to another
level.
Yeah,
could he be on the flag football team? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he's just not very big. I don't even know how much he weighs. He could be some 5'8", 155, 140-pound guy.
Listed at 5'8". But why he's listed at 5'8", and how they got that, I have no idea.
Well, I think he's shown in a picture getting measured.
Okay. So
who knows? And now, they measured him at his hair, which is not actually how you do that.
5'9", not 5'7".
5'9", no, 5'9", in shoes, 5'10", and a half, including hair. But maybe 5'8".
Why would you?
I don't know why he's measured at his hair. So this is not official. He wasn't at the combine when they did this. So he's kind of small, Keith, and who knows how much he actually weighs to be that fast.
Would you rather have IShowSpeed or D'Angelo Pons as your cornerback?
Well, I know that D'Angelo Pons can play cornerback at the college level.
It's also 5 foot.
Yeah,
five
but
eight.
I know he can do it. Now, what he'll be on the NFL level, that's up for debate. But I know he's willing to stick his nose in there and hit people. So I don't know that IShowSpeed would want to do that. Maybe just doing everything in shorts is what he's into, as far as running and playing soccer, which he likes to do in celebrity events, and flag football fits the profile too. But it's very lucrative being a streamer. He doesn't need to get beat up to continue to make a lot of money.
Tackled.
Yeah, he can make a lot of money not getting hit by anyone, and he can also play in these flag football things to even add to the lore. So it gets you calling in suggesting that he could play in the NFL. The question for me, and maybe for you too, Sean, is that event happened over the weekend. The Team USA members, the actual flag football team, much better than the NFL players at flag football. The sell, at least when we heard that flag football was coming to the Olympics, was you get all these NFL players to get the interest in this new event. For me, the question is, considering what I saw, now they wouldn't have to play Team USA in the tournament, the NFL players, but they would have to play, like, I guess somehow, some way, Team Austria is the second best flag football team in the world. Yeah.
Okay.
We could be like,
they have a world ranking.
Oh yeah, I went to the flag football world rankings. I didn't just pull Team Austria out of my ass.
I didn't know if they finished silver last year or something.
Well, they finish with the silver in the world championships. They're also by points second in the world. Mexico's up there too. Canada's not as good as I thought they would be, but top 10, I think. Would you rather watch Team USA, the actual flag footballers, win a gold medal, which they would be favored to do, or
the drama
of watching the NFL players fail? Because I think they would get beat even by Team Austria, just because they're not going to have a lot of time to acclimate to the rules. I saw in the event over the weekend that they didn't understand how some of these things went. So Team USA just had not only a skill advantage, but a knowledge advantage about how things work. Because they're not going to be together for a lot of time to get the NFL players.
No, it would be like,
it'd be like maybe like a
week,
like a
2 weeks,
like when the U.S. like coming up here is the international window for soccer. All it means is that the leagues won't be playing, the leagues across the world, most of them won't be playing domestic games to give their stars a chance to go play for their countries in friendlies as they get ready for the World Cup. It'd be like that, like a camp to get ready for the Olympics. I don't think they would come together after the season and train for 2 months to get ready for the Olympics. So if we gave a Joe Burrow-led team 2 weeks, do you think they would win a gold medal? You might not have seen as much as I saw.
I saw, like, clips.
They looked outmatched, didn't understand the game. But they would get a chance to understand the game. But would they be able to compete
this was also
win a gold medal?
a weird Saudi Arabia event, right?
Yeah, Fanatics was involved.
Yeah, it was like a weird like All-Star game type feel.
Yeah, but Team USA, the actual flag football team, was there in their entirety.
And they're there to put on, too.
Yeah, they want to prove a point that you should be taking us if you actually want to win a gold medal.
I just have a hard time believing that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase
couldn't beat Team Austria.
Just like throwing out routes wouldn't actually be enough.
Problem is there's not enough room just to line up Ja'Marr Chase and have Joe Burrow on the opposite hash and just have him keep peppering guys without routes.
It is like built for dump offs and swiveling your hips down the field.
Yes, from what I saw. So the question would be, Davante Adams was out there. I don't know that sending Davante Adams to make contested catches down the field is the best way of going about it.
Yeah, I saw there was one where like Hopkins was out there, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm good with that DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe we could scout among NFL the talent base of the NFL to try to get the shifty guy, you know, like
what's Tutu Atwell up to?
Yeah, let's go Tutu Atwell instead of these 6'3" contested catch specialists.
Yeah. Perhaps. I don't know.
Also, or just throw a contested catch to DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I've seen him catch
an actual contested ball
in double coverage against NFL players, not 5'6" flag football players.
That was the biggest difference you saw. Just
they're all massive.
They're big guys because they got to play in the NFL, and particularly in comparison to these smaller flag football guys who are out there.
To answer the question, though, I think.
So what would you rather see?
I would rather just see NFL players.
If I told you there was a, let's say, a 80% and 90% chance the flag football team, the actual team, wins a gold medal versus a 35% chance the NFL players medal.
I would just be like, come on. At some point, you're NFL players. Make a play. Like you don't have to play the game, you know, the way, you know, the optimal way that Team Austria and
Mexico, good.
Italy, France, Switzerland. You have, I don't know, AJ Brown and they don't. Go make a play, AJ Brown. I don't know. Double coverage against 5'5" guys. Switzerland.
I saw Team USA. What's the athleticism advantage for the NFL players versus Team Austria?
Also, just as a consumer, it's just more interesting for guys I know to be playing in this game. Not like it looks like something that's on ESPN, the Ocho.
And also take into account the Schadenfreude if they do lose.
Exactly.
Like, watch Team Austria.
Josh Allen lost to Team Austria.
Josh Allen can never win. Doesn't matter what brand of football you play, he never will win.
Yeah.
You can also throw that into the mix.
From what I've seen, like, I'd rather just have Kyler Murray. You know, like, all of these size advantages, like, other than receiver, I don't care, really. Like, just these guys don't have to be good at football. They need to be good at flag football.
Yeah.
And Kyler Murray just seems
good
like
enough
he'd
at
be,
regular football. He should be good at flag football. Yeah.
You'd fit in better with flag than Joe Burrow, where I'm like,
you look at how it's set up. You have two quarterbacks who should be both athletic because of all the plays you can run. So Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels, go out there and do your thing. Joe Burrow, sit down.
Yeah,
you're not needed for this game.
If they bring like tackle football into this, like 7-on-7, like what? I feel like that. I guess I was picturing flag football as just 7-on-7.
It is, not
and I'm like,
that.
How is this a question of who's better?
Well, it's not that at all.
No,
Team USA.
It's like a different sport.
Much better. We'll see what they do. I suspect they'd lean into the stars to get people to care, they don't.
At least give me a handful. Like, if you want to mix it and give me, like...
You mean, like, Olympic soccer, the men's side, where you only have, like, 3 over 23 players or however many they used to do to be part of the team?
Give me a cut. Give me Bijan Robinson or something to turn on my TV. Because that's the thing. In the Olympics, when the Olympics happen, there'll be 20-something other Olympic sports going on.
True.
And then also the NFL training camp and preseason, it's like... Do I want to watch these Team USA guys, like the current Team USA guys that I have no idea who any of them are? Like, I don't really want to watch that. Flag football to me isn't that interesting. What's interesting to me is NFL players playing flag football?
Yeah, true. Just because there likely wouldn't be enough guys, I would be interested to see how many guys would decide, actually, I'm going to go play for the country. You know, the flag I put on the back of my helmet because I have ethnicity or descent or ancestors from a different part of the world. I wonder how many of those guys would be like, hey, I'd actually want to play for this team, or not for Team USA.
Or if those teams' flag football federations are like, you know what, we're good. We're good.
You've seen America's best NFL players versus their best flag football players. We'd rather not have you. I mentioned that because it reminded me, because Jackson Smith and Jigba is one of the players who has a different country's flag on the back of his helmet. I forgot which country it is. Yeah. He got a big deal. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll also we'll play some sound because we played the sound from Kevin Durant. We have some sound from Kelvin Sampson to get to. So a lot to get to as we continue on. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We have a new highest paid receiver in football. What does that mean for Nico Collins? We'll talk about that when we come back.
97.5.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Recently, our company's softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, winning isn't everything. Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.